and to those who are not able to hear. So, if community center is only around and you are under the weather or you're unable to make it because of some circumstances, you're not wanting to be at home and watch football, then please let us know and we'll try to get up to you, okay? I have a few announcements, just two announcements, and that is that next Sunday, we don't have a Christmas program. Next Sunday, we'll be meeting like a potluck meal. Is that in the bulletin? Because when I heard from everybody saying, is there a thing? Let's just do Christmas thing. What does that mean? I don't know. Christmas. I really drink many things. I don't know. We'll have a Christmas themed potluck where we will also have a white elephant. Not like in person, but like a white elephant gift exchange. And some might be questioning, well, what does white elephant mean? And a white elephant can be anything from bringing gently worn socks to something purchased from a store. I know that if you have the extremists and the purists that say only a used item or a bad item or something like that, that the Lord Jesus even instructs us in matters like this when he says, it is greater to give than to receive. So your gift that you bring to the White House and vote will not have your name on it might just be the evidence of your love for your brother. Okay? So bring a gift if you want to participate in the White Elephant gift exchange. The instructions and the rules will be given there. If it's only like a few people, then that's fine. But if it's everybody in there, we'll have a white elephant gift exchange and we'll have a Christmas themed potluck. Regular time. The other announcement that I wanted to make is, especially for those of you with children, in the master study, you will find a coloring sheet. About one of them. This is a lovely coloring sheet. We'll have a coloring competition. Adults, you can join in if you want. Don't listen to a shit. You'll never get out of it. But here's a coloring sheet. And I'll just tell you that at one point in my life, I thought that I was going to get the computer and drafting. I had a drafting table in my bedroom and all sorts of expensive markers and pencils and stuff. And my girlfriend in high school, Mr. Gonzalez, we were all coming over just to go to that drafting table and do all things. And she never knew that, 30 years later, that I would be doing this. But she's pretty red right now. I'm in a hollow shell. I mean, it's just a masterpiece. So, it's not a joke, I'm being thrilled. However, but if you make fun of the videos earlier, you're just attacking your sister. Okay? I love this holiday season. This morning we are going to get into a wonderful portion of scripture in Luke. And so let's pray, let's ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll just hone in and give our attention to the Lord and to his word. Father, I thank you so much for being gracious to us and giving us your word. For in your word we find this wonderful account of our Savior's birth and all of the events that surround it, Lord, and it helps us to see the bigger picture of the Christmas story. And so, Lord, help us to give you all of our heart, all of our mind, and our attention as we look to familiar ground. We look to Luke chapter 1. And I just ask, Lord, that you would have your way with us, and that you would minister to us and help us, Lord, to see just this wonderful story in Luke 1, that our hearts would rejoice, that our souls would be still alive, that we would be blessed and encouraged by your word. Be with us, Lord, and be with those saints that are not able to be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at a wonderful song. We're going to look at Mary's song this morning, Mary's Magnificat. And it's found in Luke chapter 1. The song is captured here in 46 through 56, but I want us to go back a little bit. This morning's sermon is titled Exalting Humility. Exalting Humility, which makes you a funny year of exalting it to make much. And humility is to really understand something in its proper lowly position. Luke chapter 1. I'll read this portion of scripture starting in verse 39. Now at this time Mary arose and went in her army to the hill country to a city in Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, a baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. And behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. He has spoken to our fathers, Abraham and his descendants forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home." In this first section, 39 through 45, when Mary greets Elizabeth, we see a celebration of the Savior. A celebration of the Savior. In the great Christmas Advent hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, that hymn calls the singer, the listener, to rejoice 14 times. 14 times to rejoice The Christmas season is a time to celebrate. It is a time of joy. It is a time to rejoice. Because of Emmanuel. Because God was sent to us to be with us. The arrival of our Savior, Jesus Christ, is worth celebrating. Have you heard the story or in the scriptures when Israel was in Egypt? And all the time had passed, it's almost as if they were wondering if God even remembered them. Well, from the last prophet in the Old Testament until you get to John the Baptist, which is the last Old Testament prophet, the first of the New Testament, you have almost the same amount of time. You probably have hearts wondering if God even remembered. And God's mercy broke out with an announcement. And all of a sudden, darkness is swallowed up by joy. Now look down there at verse 41. Well, Elizabeth heard Mary's praying, the baby weak in her womb. Why would this baby leave? Elizabeth's baby is none other than John the Baptist. And if you look earlier in Luke's Gospel at verse 15 of chapter 1, we're told that he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. John the Baptist is the forerunner in leading men to Jesus, but here he is the forerunner in leading praise to Jesus, as he is filled with joy and filled with the Spirit, he leaped in his mother's womb. He's rejoicing in the Savior because he has the Spirit. It is the Spirit's work. It is the Spirit's fruit to bring out joy in all of those the Holy Spirit fills. Even if they are tightly placed in their mother's home. It is the Spirit's role to bring joy out. Even in the Lord Jesus, who is also filled with the Spirit, in Luke chapter 10, verse 21, it said that Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit when his disciples returned back to him from evangelism. He rejoiced in the Spirit. Can John the Baptist see Jesus' arrival? No. But being filled with the Holy Spirit, he shows that hearing the Lord's mother greet his mother. Christmas is a season when our soul should weep and rejoice in Jesus. You see, John is not distracted by all of the extra things that we add on to Christmas. He's basically blind in his mind. But he's filled with the Spirit. He's blind to all the add-ons. There's nothing to distract him. And so he rejoices that Elizabeth is also filled with the Holy Spirit. And she pronounces blessings on Mary. And so here in these few verses we have this great big theme of joy and celebration as well as blessings. And Isaiah prophesied that at this time, when the sign would come, that they would be in a dark place. And even in the shadow of death. But here we have joy and we have blessings. Why? And that is because the arrival of Jesus changes everything. The arrival of Jesus changes everything. There is a great reason to rejoice. There is a great reason to celebrate. And Elizabeth and John the Baptist are a dynamic duo for praise and encouragement. Look at Mary's song, verse 46. What would it take to make you just cry out in a song right now? Not in a song that you're familiar with, but what would it take to make you just start singing your own new song? And if you're also playing after a song like that, Mary must have been overjoyed. And we'll see that at the beginning of her song. Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." And I need to admit this geographical note, if you will. You see, Mary has just finished a journey of about 60 miles of rocky, hilly terrain that would have taken somebody 2 to 4 days. And yet, Mary is 12, maybe 13 or 14. Parents, how many of you are willing to send your 12-year-old or even 14-year-old on a 60-mile hike? By the time she gets to that ride in the house, she doesn't fall over and collapse. She doesn't pass out. She celebrates and begins to sing. And that's extraordinary. She praises God with a song. Mary, the soul, exalts the Lord and makes much of God, exalting God, making much of Him. You are seeing Him in a great way. You are expressing, whether it's in song or just words or thoughts, you're making much of God and you're seeing much of God. And that's why her spirit also rejoices in God, her Savior, with true joy and thanks and gratitude. This is not wishy-washy worship. Like when your mind is in a million places and everyone's up here leading us in song and familiar with the songs and you can kind of sing through the song at the same time you're running through your checklist and all the things you're going to do today or next week or what so-and-so did, what so-and-so said. And it's kind of like halfway there. That kind of zombie worship. It's not Mary. Mary's song contains confidence in God and a strong faith because of the Word of God, which she fully trusts, is a great joy for her to think through what God has done. Because she already has faith in God. The angel did not come to her and tell her how to become saved. She's already favored by God. She's already heart and is blessed by God with faith and trust in God, and God brings this word to your angel, and she trusts every bit of it. That is why in verse 9 it says, and at this time, what time? The time that the angel let her know, shortly after, she arose and went in a hurry. She didn't get out of her seat. She went because she was confident in what was told to her. And so she was rejoicing, exulting. And this is going to have to praise that we find in David in Psalm 35:9. My soul shall rejoice in the Lord, shall exult in his salvation. She sounds just like the richest songs. Now, Mary gives three reasons why she exults and why she rejoices. And we can see that because in verse 48, we have this four statement, four and four. These three statements. So why is she exulting in the Lord? Why has her spirit rejoiced in God? She tells us, for he has regard for the humble state of his bondservant. Why does she make much of God? Because God has made much of her. He has thought so well of her to do what he has done, to promise what he has promised. He has looked upon her humble state. And a favorite boy. Matter of fact, not only in a favorable way, but in a historical way. Because the second reason she gives is, for behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. Blessed of God, and then blessed in her spirit, because Lord knows that she is happy. And that's something that I can tell according to you all day. They do call her Mary. There are a great number of amazing mothers in this world, but this is not said of any of them. Because only one woman was favored by God in such a way that she would carry the Savior of the world in her womb. Mary continues to testify of what God has done in verse 49, for the mighty one has done great things for me. This is a stark contrast of God's might and Mary's weakness and humility. God's love for Mary is great, and his plan for Mary is great, and she knows it. And she adds, and holy is his name. And that is a powerful statement from this possibly 13-year-old, 14-year-old. You don't have to kid them all. If God holds it, they will all tell you yes. So what's the difference from Mary said, and holy is his name? Because Mary is saying his whole character, everything about God is holy. Not just his name, but to speak his name. But his name and then his person, his character, all of who he is holy. And to say that he is holy in his character is to say that all that he has planned to do, all the great things towards Mary, none of it is a mistake. Why? Because he's holy. Not only is it not a mistake, it's not a lie. Why? Because he's holy. And nothing can get in his way. Why? Because he's holy. So Mary understands this blessing that she has received from God. And what she prays about in her song is to exalt God for how great God is and how God has had his eyes on her and her humble state. And so she sings because of it. She sings because now she can bless forever and recognize in that way. And she sings because he has done great and mighty things for her, and he is holy. No mistake. No mistake. She trusts that the Lord will bring this about just as much as she trusts in every other portion, every other promise, every other prophecy, every other thing that she's come across in her journey. In verse 50, and his mercy is upon generation after generation for those who fear him. And here Mary shows us that her conviction comes from the Word of God because she quotes Psalm 103. Would you marry Psalm 103? As Mary is blessing the Lord, she quotes a psalm that begins with, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. She goes, and the psalm goes on. It is a song that then turns attention to recognize God's mercy and God's attention on man's short-lived life. And how God's character is captured in stating that his loving kindness is everlasting. And so he said, the psalmist in verse 17, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. So Mary quotes this song because she feels that that character of God revealed in Psalm 103 is being revealed to her in her current position. Do I need to remind us that she's a teenager? She probably didn't skip a Sunday school class. She knows God. She knows him well. She has a great theology. She gets it. She understands that God is great and mighty and holy, and she is simply his servant. And this is why she has to let out this praise, this song of rejoicing, because God, her Savior, has expressed favor to her. And so the Christmas season, yes, it is about a great, big, glorious story, but it's also about humility and a Savior King that was born in a manger, the Messiah coming as a baby. And he's only fitting that the Son of God would be carried by a woman of such a humble and blessed state as Mary, the Lord's servant. Church family, we need to learn that humility is the way to catch God's blessing. And yes, mountaintops can be cold and rigid, and when it rains, the rain runs down the mountain to a lonely, lush valley of life. Some hands to be in the valley. Some people want to be on the mountaintop of attention and power and might. appearance of God bless humility. Mary goes on to speak of the proud and your judgment. If you look back at Mary's psalm, verse 51, he has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. And while the humble are lifted up by the strength of God, the proud are brought down and brought low by the strength of God as he scatters them. The scattering of God, or God's enemies, regularly comes up in passages regarding God's judgment. In Psalm 58, verse 1, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let those who hate him flee before him. God hates pride. He hates it. Proverbs 16:5, everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished. We find a vivid illustration of this in Daniel 4. When King Nebuchadnezzar is judged by God in his pride and made to be just like a beast of the field. God hates pride. And he brings the proud low. An old Puritan once said, pride is the denial of dependence upon God. Pride is a denial of dependence upon God. Depending on God is worshiping God. Depending on God is seeing that God is the only one that can help. God brings the proud low. But he exalts the humble. That is the character of God. Naturally, God actually doesn't act out of character. He sees the humble, strengthens them, and exalts them in his time. Consider Job 5:11, so that he sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. God loves the humble in heart, and he loves to help those who are humble. And he sings of it, and quotes even another psalm, Psalm 107, verse 9. He has filled the hungry with good things. And that is God's character. To see you in your need, to see you in your weakness, and in whatever humble state that he has allowed you to be in, so that he can help, and he can show you that he is sufficient. He is able to care for you in whatever season, whatever valley, whatever pit you may find yourself in. His arm is always long enough to reach down. And he's always merciful enough and gracious enough not to just pat you on the head when you're down in that low position, but to wrap you and bring you up. Only to see if you're too weak to walk, he will put you on his shoulders and carry you. He is a loving Savior that loves to help the humble, the contrite, the broken in spirit. He loves to fill the hungry with good things. It does not say he has filled the hungry with suitable things. Or he has filled the hungry with just things. But God's word, God's declaration to us is good things. Are you recipient of good things? How many good things do you have in your life? I mean, so many good things. He's gracious. He's loving. This wonderful psalm is all about God's mercy and interceding in man's life no matter what place he's in. when he cries out to him, God delivers. He doesn't say, no, not this time. I know what you said. I know what you, how you've been acting. He delivers. He's a deliverer. The Lord does not look favorably upon the proud, the mighty, or the rich who use their position or resources for wickedness. He scatters them. And sends them away empty-handed. But it is the opposite for the humble. God blesses the humble. Look at verses 54 to 55. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. God provides help for the humble, for his servant. And Mary views her blessed position as God remembering his promise of mercy to Abraham. And then it says, his seed. The help for the humble is God sending his servant, the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And this is why Elizabeth pronounced a blessing in verse 35 on Mary. Elizabeth told Mary, and blessed is she. Blessed are you, Mary, who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Mary, you're blessed because you trust that the things that God has told you will be fulfilled. And this is it, beloved. This is the high point of Mary's song. This is why she sings. This is why Elizabeth followed God, and this is why John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. Because help is on the way. Help is on the way. The Messiah has arrived. The consolation of Israel is there. And it is all to the remembrance of God's mercy. God does not look highly upon the proud who deny him. He does not look highly upon the mighty who oppress the weak. He does not look high upon the rich who withhold good from their neighbor. But in remembering his mercy, he has helped his servant, through his might and through his heavenly riches, he has blessed us all by sending his son, the Lord Jesus. He is the merciful blessing of Christmas. Titus 3, 5 through 6, he saves us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Christmas season is a time when our soul ought to rejoice and leap for the coming of Christ. It should be a time when we celebrate God making the impossible possible. Christmas is a season to remember that in all of the greatness of God, he sees the humble and exalts them. Christmas is also a season when we should celebrate God, remembering his mercy. God sent his son as a merciful gift for condemned sinners in desperate need of salvation. He sent us his son, the only one that can save us. And the heart that does not receive him is the proud heart, the mighty heart, the heart that believes it's already rich enough and there is no room for Christ. And sadly, that heart will be scattered that heart will be brought low unless that heart lowers itself in humility and receives the Savior. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you because you are so good to us. Help us each to rejoice in the humility that you reveal to us. Help us to see that Christ is worthy of all of our song, all of our singing, all of our joy, all of our praise. Thank you for exalting your Son, though you sent him in a humble state. Help us to.